Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning. Kia ora, Rod. How are you today?
Raina, Rachel, very well. Thank you.
That is very good to hear. We've got the Prime Minister's trip to America to discuss this morning. This has been really interesting to see how it's played out, and also the way it's been reported on has been quite interesting as well. What are your first takeaways from what we've seen from the Prime Minister's visit to the States?
It was a very effective trip overall in terms of the goals that were set for it. So there was quite a lot on trade. There was quite a lot on raising New Zealand's profile in various ways through the speeches that she gave, the Prime Minister gave, and the meetings that she had. And there's some interesting things such as the California-New Zealand climate partnership, although it's very vague memory of a memorandum of cooperation, so we're not quite sure exactly what might flow from that. Mm. But I think the thing that's been completely underplayed is what Biden and Ardern discussed in the White House yesterday. There was a, I would argue, the most significant shift in the defense and strategic relationship between the US and New Zealand for decades. And I think it, in some ways, and I wouldn't want to overstress this parallel, it's rather like what's going on in Europe, where some long-held strategic positions, such as neutrality of Sweden and Finland, have shifted because of the Russian invasion. Mm. And so the language between the two of them yesterday on China was, I think, really significant, and it has been significantly underplayed by the New Zealand journalists on the trip, focusing on such things as, for example, that the meeting lasted half an hour longer than it was supposed to. The sort of response overseas media to that subject that Biden and Ardern was discussing yesterday is what's really caught my eye.
So tell us a little bit more about that. What exactly have you seen that's, I guess, piqued your interest so much here? What's the big changes?
Obviously, they were discussing role of China in the Pacific, and particularly the foreign minister from China's tour around a number of Pacific islands now, and indeed the summit meeting that he held in Fiji with them earlier on in the week, where they turned down the proposal put in front of them by the Chinese on security matters, but China's still been chipping away with agreements with individual companies on a whole range of issues. So it's building its influence very strongly. And so the message that came through from the White House yesterday, that New Zealand is going to form stronger military ties with the US because of China and the Pacific. And yes, it's all very well that they, you know, Biden and Ardern were talking about older relatives way back in the Second World War, both fought in the Pacific. That's fine. But I think this is very different language and shows a significant shift by New Zealand. And I'm very eager to see how MFAT and the foreign minister and the government express when over coming days as to how this is going to work and what this is going to look like.
Yes, that sounds really interesting. I wanted to come back to the climate agreement that, or the sort of, I guess, understanding perhaps that New Zealand and California have come to. As you've said, it's a little bit of a vague memorandum at the moment, but is it significant? Should we be pleased about this? What is this actually sort of indicating?
There's certainly a shared common concern and high priority on climate between the two countries. And of course, California is a huge tech powerhouse on this. And so, for example, one of the things that happened at the same time as this partnership being agreed, NZ Marino signed a tech agreement with a company called Actual. And this is a software platform that allows New Zealand merino farmers in NZ Marino's ZQ program, that's its top-end fiber, to be able to more easily record all their environment, social and governance goals, and that's, you know, a very interesting step forward for farmers to be that actively involved in that kind of reporting. But there are some really big differences. So, for example, both Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and the prime minister talked about agriculture as an area that we might cooperate. Well, you have to bear in mind that we've got two very different agricultural systems. So California is very intensive farming and horticulture, even more so than we are. But a majority of the dairy and meat farming is feedlot farms, which, of course, are very different from our pasture ones. So California has very strict regulations already in place about methane reduction from ruminant animals and is driving that down hard and with some punitive costs on methane as the key driver there. But they can do that because of the high proportion of feedstock farming going on there. So I think you have to be very a bit skeptical about the very great difference between the two places, California and New Zealand, in climate and all sorts of other things, and farming systems. But still, because it's the U.S. state, which is at the forefront of the U.S.'s climate response and is a very big tech powerhouse on climate technology, I think that's something well worth watching.
I wanted to touch, before we talk a little bit about the polls, I did want to touch on the Indo-Pacific Agreement. What's actually going on here? Because there were big changes to trade relationships under Trump's presidency. What's been going on here? Have we seen much indication of more change or different change with the relationship under Biden?
No, and that will be one of the Prime Minister's frustrations. So she was obviously going in there wanting to push the CPPTA, which is the trade agreement that we and many other countries have worked on very hard, but the US hasn't joined. And the Indo-Pacific partnership is very much about strategy, strategic issues and defense, rather than trade. And so that there's quite a big difference between the two. The Prime Minister didn't get at all far on those big strategic trade issues with Biden yesterday.
Okay, let's come back to that one because I think that will be interesting to follow up on. But let's come to the polls that we've seen in New Zealand. It's bringing, the most recent one is bringing the National Party up significantly and Labour down a little bit more. What is this looking like? Is this an indication? We always talk about polls and then whether they're an accurate indication of what's actually going on or not. What is your opinion on polling at the moment? Is it giving us an accurate picture?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to give you a double negative. I don't know any reason why the polls would have become less accurate because in one sense, the shift here is not dramatic versus the one back in March, which put the National Party ahead for the first time in 2 or 3 years. What's interesting is that neither National or Labour could govern on their own, which of course is what MMP makes desirable for coalitions to form. But in terms of partners, it could only possibly be National and ACT, which gives you 60 seats on this polling, or Labour, Greens and the Māori Party, which would be 60 seats. So they're deadlocked, so there's lots to play for. And it was interesting that Ardern's rating as preferred prime minister was down just one percentage point to 33%, whereas Luxon was unchanged at 25%. So one of the things we need to watch is, as COVID hopefully recedes, whether people relax a bit more about Ardern after getting very frustrated. Some people getting very frustrated with her in the latter stages of COVID. So I think that how COVID tracks from here may be a very important determinant in her personal ratings in these polls, which will then obviously flow through into the parties themselves. So not a big shift, but the fact that the two groupings or potential coalitions are absolutely neck and neck, some 15 months or so out from the next election, means that it's going to be quite fascinating to see how the leaders and their parties track over this year plus.
It certainly will be. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod Oram. It's always an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel. All the best. See ya.
See ya.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.